Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the FDA approves booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson.
The new Bitcoin ETF becomes the quickest ever to $1 billion.
Former President Trump begins his return to social media.
And Democrats rework plans to pay for President Biden's economic agenda.
It was debate night for New York's two mayoral candidates, plus the full House votes today on contempt of Congress charges for Steve Bannon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A wild season opener for the Knicks. They beat the Celtics in double overtime. Baseball playoff wins for the Astros and Braves.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 9 points. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury up 4/30 seconds, yield 1.64%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.8% or 63 cents at $82.79 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.30. At $17.88.10 an ounce, and the euro 1.1640 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll get back to the markets in a minute, but we begin with big news on the vaccine front. The FDA has cleared the way for Americans to receive booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. They'll start with people 65 and older, plus those at higher risk of COVID. Here with more is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
FDA Director of Biologics, Dr. Peter Marks, says age categories can be quickly modified.
There is evidence to suggest potentially that lowering the age of those eligible for boosters may make sense in the future.
The Biden administration also will begin shipping vaccines for kids age 5 to 11 as soon as next week. Dr. Jeff Zients in preparation for approval.
We've already enrolled more than 25,000 pediatricians, family doctors, and other primary care providers.
He hopes to be able to get them in arms within a couple of weeks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, turning to the markets now, the news this morning centers on earnings from Tesla. Shares of the automaker are lower this morning. The company beat on profit but fell short on revenue. And we get more from Bloomberg's Keith Naughton.
There were very high expectations going into this. And so if they didn't beat on everything, it looks like investors weren't going to give them credit. But the one thing to remember is though the stock has dipped a bit, it is up 55% since its low back in April.
Bloomberg's Keith Naughton says Tesla is proving resilient to the semiconductor shortage and supply chain issues hitting other companies. Shares are down 1% in early trading.
Well, speaking of that chip shortage, Karen, we'll be looking for more details on that when Intel reports third quarter earnings. Those results are due after today's market close. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Chip supplies continue to lag behind rising demand from enterprise data centers, cloud providers, and autos. Bloomberg Intelligence says Intel's capital spending may increase in the near to medium term as it seeks to catch up with Taiwan Semiconductor on chip manufacturing. Weakness may continue in Intel's data center group as its chips trail those of rivals Advanced Micro Devices and NVIDIA. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And the markets this morning, the rally in Bitcoin shows no signs of slowing. The digital currency hit a fresh record yesterday as money continues to flow into the new ProShares ETF. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at $66,122, and it can only go up from here, according to Kraken's head of options trading, Juthika Chu.
When you get the inflows, when you get some of the really large pension funds, it doesn't take much to push price up another 50%.
The ProShares Bitcoin ETF reached more than $1 billion under management in just its second day of trading. It's the quickest ever that an ETF reached that mark. The overall crypto market is also at an all-time high, totaling more than $2.7 $1 trillion.
All right, well, let's turn to politics now, Karen, and word that a big name is planning a move back into the spotlight. Former President Trump has announced a deal that could help him get back on social media following his exile from Facebook and Twitter. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump plans to start a social media company called Truth Social. That's according to a press release that also says the new enterprise will be operating by the first quarter of next year. That would be well ahead of the midterm elections. The company says it's also planning a subscription video on demand service, and it would be publicly traded through a merger with another firm called Digital World Acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Democrats continue their push for a compromise on infrastructure. We're told they're looking for new ways to pay for the measure outside of a corporate tax hike. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
During a call with top Democrats, the White House floated the idea of a billionaire's wealth tax and a tax on stock buybacks. A person familiar with the call tells Bloomberg News higher corporate taxes seem less likely now, but talks are fluid. This, as moderate Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she won't vote for any package with increases on the corporate and individual tax rates. Eliminating some tax increases will likely disappoint some progressive Democrats who see overhauling the tax code as a way to address wealth inequality. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. When it comes to those negotiations, Americans in high-tax states are watching for any word on changes to the cap on state and local deductions. There has been haggling over that issue, but it's not dead yet. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John?
Good morning, Nathan. House lawmakers are divided on repealing the limit on so-called SALT write-offs. Democrats had previously discussed a two-year repeal, but now negotiators are looking to cut even that to win support for moderates. One source tells Bloomberg the scaling down of the bill means a repeal would be limited to only 1 year. The $10,000 limit on deducting state and local taxes was imposed by Republicans in 2017. It's being closely watched by residents in New York, California, and New Jersey. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 9 points, Dow futures down 92, NASDAQ futures down 20 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds, the yield 1.64%, yield on the two-year 0.39. Straight ahead, we'll bring you your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 61 degrees in Central Park and starting to see some delays building on the GWB and through the Holland Tunnel. We'll get details on that in traffic. But first, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The two men who want to be the next mayor of New York held their first of two debates last night with an emphasis on debate. Democratic candidate Eric Adams and Republican contender Curtis Sliwa pretty much disagreed on everything, on crime.
You are missing in action like so many others.
Okay,
so please, I put my life on the line. I've been shot, stabbed, beaten in order to provide.
Please, I need to wrap you up. I'll give you.
When he was playing cop, I was on the subway system, right in that system during the mid '80s when crime was high.
During last night's debate on WNBC, Adams said he supports coronavirus vaccine mandates and would be open to students going back to remote classes if they don't get shots. Sliwa slammed Mayor de Blasio, who endorsed Adams, for threatening to fire nurses for not getting vaccinated after they were cheered months ago for their work. Adams leads in the polls heading into the November 2nd election. The full House votes today on whether to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena related to the investigation of the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The House vote intends to trigger Justice Department action. Senate Republicans blocked once again Democrats who are trying to pass sweeping elections legislation. Democrats say it is a powerful counterweight to new voting restrictions sweeping conservative-controlled states. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took aim at his GOP colleagues for not allowing a discussion to happen.
Our former president could not accept defeat with grace. He refused to show fidelity to the democratic process. Instead, he told a big lie that has now poisoned the roots of our democracy.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell slammed the measure as a federal election takeover scheme. Potential human remains were found in a Florida wilderness area, along with items believed to belong to Brian Laundrie. Authorities say he is a person of interest in the death of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito. FBI agent in charge, Michael McPherson.
These items were found in an area that up until recently have been underwater.
FBI agent McPherson says the items found included Laundrie's backpack and notebook. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. First of 82 games for the Knicks. They may not play a wilder game all year. They trailed early, then took the lead. They were up 11 with about 3 minutes to go. A Celtics rally. Marcus Smart hit a three-pointer at the buzzer of regulation. So they went to overtime, then a second overtime. And at one point, both teams were draining three-pointers at both ends. Most of the Knick threes came from a new Knick.
Finds Fournier. He's open. Fake the three. Now one from straight on. Knocks it down. Got his man in the air. And Fournier, huge in his Knicks debut. The Knicks leading 136-134.
WEPN had the call. Knicks beat Boston 138-134. And in Evan Fournier's first game with his new team, a career-high 32 points. Julius Randle scored 35. Jaylen Brown, who just came back from COVID, he hadn't been practicing, he scored a career-high 46-point shot, 16 of 30. The Knicks were helped by the Celtics' other star, Jason Tatum. He shot 7 of 30. Baseball playoffs, the Braves won 9-2, and the Astros won 9-1. Atlanta can win the pennant tonight. Houston can win it tomorrow night. Braves are up 3-1 on the Dodgers, as they were in the NLCS a year ago. They blew that series. Astros lead the Red Sox 3-2. They trailed the series 2-1, trailed game 4-2-1. Then they scored the next 15 runs. The Australian Open tennis, not until January, but officials say without the vaccine you can't play, and less than half of professional tennis players are said to be fully vaccinated. Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich just got fired for not getting the vaccine. He is now pursuing legal action. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 103. NASDAQ futures down almost 26 points. 10-year Treasury up 430 seconds. Yield on the 10-year 1.64%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down about 11 points. Dow futures down 104. NASDAQ futures down 22. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 430 seconds. The yield 1.64%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% at $82.89 a barrel. We're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update. It is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with your latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, Bitcoin has been fluctuating this morning. Right now, it's just above 66,000 a day after hitting a new high. The overall value of cryptocurrencies is now at an all-time peak of more than $2.7 trillion. Tracker CoinGecko says that's a climb of about $200 billion from the last high in May for a sector that now spans almost 10,000 coins. Now, this boom shows how bets on cryptos are spreading beyond Bitcoin, and this is amid enthusiasm about more mainstream adoption of digital assets following the launch of the first Bitcoin-linked ETF in the U.S. The ProShares Bitcoin ETF has topped $1 billion in assets in just 2 days. Bitcoin almost touched 67,000 on Wednesday before dropping below 65,000 this morning. But the question now is whether this famously volatile asset will push higher or succumb to a bout of selling as speculators take profits. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The White House is floating new plans for ways to pay for President Joe Biden's $2 trillion proposal for expanding social services and tackling climate change. The ideas include shelving a proposed big increase in corporate tax rates. Former President Donald Trump says he's launching a new media company with its own social media platform 9 months after being expelled from social media for his role in the January 6th Capitol riot. In the NBA season debut for the Knicks, it took double overtime for New York to down the Celtics 138-134. The Wizards also won. Major League Baseball in the ALCS, the Red Sox pounded by the Astros 9-1. Now Houston leads the series 3-1 with Boston in a must-win situation tomorrow. In the NLCS, the Braves have a commanding 3-1 lead over the Dodgers. Atlanta down Los Angeles 9-2. NHL, the Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Thank you, Michael. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. The travel industry's rebounding, as we've been hearing, is big airlines report earnings. United had a loss in the most recent quarter, but it was smaller than predicted. The airline's also looking to expand international routes next year. Let's get more on the plans and the future of travel from United CEO Scott Kirby. He sat down yesterday with Bloomberg's David Westin. Here's that conversation now.
You came out and people said, boy, this is great. It's not as bad as we thought it was in losses. And then some analysts said, we're a little shaky on the fourth quarter. Give us your perspective on what's coming up.
Yeah, look, both the third and the fourth quarter were dramatically impacted by the Delta variant. And while bookings bottomed out and we're clearly on the road to recovery now, a lot of the fourth quarter was impacted, and business offices that were going to open in September have been pushed, that's been pushed back to January. And so really, you know, regardless of what the fourth quarter is, I think the story, at least for long-term investors, is about 2022 and beyond. And on that front, we're really optimistic, and all the signs are positive, and point to a good direction for 2022, both on the cost front, but also on the demand and revenue front as we look to the future.
So how much visibility do you have into the fourth quarter and then going to 2022, which is what you said you really want to pay attention to, in terms of bookings? And I'll break it down more specifically, leisure as opposed to business.
Yeah, so we already see very strong leisure demand here in the United States, and it's again roared back to record levels. Our expectation as we look particularly at the holidays are that the holidays are going to be really strong. Normally in the fourth quarter, there's a lot of business traffic. It's much more business traffic dependent outside of the holidays. And business traffic has rebounded to the levels it was pre-Delta variant, but it's not to the levels we originally expected. But everything we hear and see from our corporate customers and our accounts and those people that are traveling is that we should expect more people in offices and a big inflection point in business demand come January. We haven't really seen the data yet because business bookings typically happen a lot closer in. But everything we hear, all the anecdotes we hear and see would indicate that there's going to be an inflection point post-holidays and that business demand, in addition to leisure demand, is going to start to come back in a much more material way.
You mentioned the extent to which your third quarter, even fourth quarter, affected by the Delta variant. As we all get back on airlines, whether domestically or internationally, is it going to look different? I know that you've been talking about a premium economy. Is it possible that for the long run, we're actually going to change some the configurations because we might not want to sit quite as close to one another?
Well, you know, certainly at United, the configurations are changing as part of our United Next, our 500 aircraft order. We're reconfiguring all of our airplanes, significant increase in the number of premium seats on airplanes. But what is going to matter more, I think, is the change in the customer experience. I mean, we've seen a huge improvement in our net promoter scores as we went through the pandemic, and that's continuing as we come out of it. So I think what customers are going to notice more is really the change in the, not just the product, but in the customer experience and how they feel when they fly United Airlines, how our employees treat them. There's an immense amount of pride at United Airlines for what we did, deserved pride for those employees, what they did to get us through the pandemic and the product, and they're proud of it. And that is leading to much better customer service.
You mentioned 2022. As we look into 2022, my understanding is that you're going to be bringing more capacity online internationally, but not so much domestically. If that's correct, why is that? Won't there be a big uptick in domestic travel as well?
Well, I think if you look backwards, you saw a pretty big increase in domestic travel. It's clearly outperformed international. But as we look forward to the summer and beyond, I think the international market is going to actually be stronger, particularly to Europe, the Middle East and Africa, places that we've added during the pandemic. And the supply-demand balance is different. There have been hundreds of wide-body, long-haul international aircrafts that have been retired around the world. And that means that the supply-demand balance is much more in balance internationally. So we expect next summer to be the strongest by a wide margin summer that we've ever had across the Atlantic. And if you look forward, it really looks different now that the borders are down and consumers, customers, business travelers, everyone is allowed to travel back and forth to Europe.
That's United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby weighing in on what's ahead for the travel industry in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. You can catch more of that conversation online at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 109, NASDAQ futures down 23 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye toward a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning with developments on vaccines, the FDA has approved booster shots for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And we get the very latest from Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien.
We have the U.S. Drug Authority approving the Moderna vaccine as a booster for Americans aged 65 and over, along with those over 18 at higher risk. They also said any adult who'd received the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine can get a booster 2 months after receiving their first dose, which is pretty aggressive.
Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien said the FDA has also approved mixing vaccines from all three manufacturers. Up next is vaccine approval for kids.
All right, Karen, let's turn to earnings now, where it's all about Tesla this morning. The shares are down about 1% after the company beat on profit but fell short on revenue. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sales of Elon Musk's electric vehicle and clean energy company rose 57%. The results mark the ninth straight quarter of profit for the 18-year-old electric car maker and came despite obstacles that included backups at ports and even rolling blackouts that made it tough to keep factories operating at full capacity. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Let's turn to politics now, and word that a big name is moving back into the spotlight. Former President Trump has announced a deal to get him back on social media. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Former President Donald Trump plans to start a social media company called Truth Social. That's according to a press release that also says the new enterprise will be operating by the first quarter of next year. The company is also planning a subscription video on demand service. It would be publicly traded through a merger with another firm called Digital World Acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. And on Capitol Hill today, wrangling continues over President Biden's infrastructure package and how to pay for it. Americans in high-tax states are watching for any changes to the cap on state and local deductions. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
Nathan, restoring the so-called SALT deduction is still on the table, but more likely a scaled-back version will be considered. One source tells Bloomberg a repeal may be limited to only 1 year. The $10,000 limit on deducting state and local taxes was imposed by Republicans in 2017. It's being watched closely by residents in New York, California, and New Jersey. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Futures moving lower. S&P futures down 11, NASDAQ futures down 23. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 61 degrees in Central Park. It's still dealing with delays on the westbound LIE for an earlier accident, Casino Boulevard. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The two men running to become New York City's next mayor offered different visions at their first debate about how to lead the nation's largest city out of the pandemic and improve public safety. Democrat Eric Adams and Republican Curtis Sliwa sparred last night like strong cups of day-old coffee.
Eric, you're with the elites. You've got potholes galore, graffiti, garbage all over Brooklyn.
I want to follow the rules. Can he please adhere to the rules that you set up today?
And the hugs kept coming. Adams and Sliwa also debated over Mayor de Blasio's vaccine mandate and first responders possibly losing their jobs.
We cheered them at night at 7. Then all of a sudden we decided de Blasio, who has supported Eric Adams here, they've been a team, that all of a sudden they would lose their jobs.
I believe the mayor's action today was correct. I would have handled it differently.
Adams and Sliwa slammed each other during the WNBC debate over personal and character issues. The U.S. Senate has struck down a bill meant to expand voter protection on the federal level. Senators on the Hill failed to get the 60 votes needed to debate the Freedom to Vote Act on the Senate floor. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Every single Republican senator just blocked this chamber from having a debate, simply a debate, on protecting Americans' right to vote in free and fair elections.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the measure a power grab by the far left. The full House votes today on whether to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena related to the January 6th investigation. The action will throw it into the lap of Attorney General Merrick Garland. The FBI and local law enforcement are on the scene after a backpack and a notebook believed to belong to Brian Laundrie were found. It was found near still-to-be-identified remains in a Florida wilderness park during the search for the missing man. Laundrie is a person of interest in the death of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito. The acting head of the MTA says an unmasked New York City police officer pushing a passenger out of a subway station won't help the city's struggling subways and transit system restore ridership and revive the economy. The video of Tuesday's incident spread across social media. In the video, one cop forcibly removed a male commuter after he asked the officer about not wearing a mask. The MTA's acting head, Jen Oliver, says he's upset by what he saw. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. .636 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, it's the NBA's 75th season. Only two franchises have been there from the start in 1946 in the same place, the Knicks and the Celtics. So fitting they met season opener. Quite a game at the Garden. A long one. It went overtime, then double OT.
And a shoot. 28 to go. Knicks by 2. Second overtime. Rose. Five a shoot. The drive. The runner. It's good. All class, Knicks by 4 with 22.2 left. Timeout Boston, Rose to the rescue.
Ted Cohen, WEPN. Final basket of the night as the Knicks won 138-134, led by Julius Randle and Evan Fournier. They combined for 67 points. Fournier, a career-high 32 in his Knicks debut. Jaylen Brown, a career-high 46 for Boston. That's the most points any Celtic has ever had in a season opener. The Astros and Braves both lost in the LCS a year ago, but both leading now, both one win from the pennant. Atlanta did lead the Dodgers 3-1 and blew that lead last year. They're up 3-1 again. They took Game 4 last night in L.A., 9-2, and Game 5 is at Dodger Stadium tonight. It would be Atlanta's first pennant since 1999. The Astros lead the Red Sox 3-2, took Game 5 at Fenway 9-1. The Red Sox won Games 2 and 3 of the series, scoring 21 runs on 22 hits. And then in Games 4 and 5, only 3 runs, 8 hits. Game 6 tomorrow in Houston. Chance for the Astros to win a third pennant in the last 5 years. Week 7 NFL begins tonight. Denver and Cleveland, both teams 3-3. The Browns will be without injured quarterback Baker Mayfield. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson with earnings in the driver's seat, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. No question. And, you're talking about Tesla's driver's seat. It's driving the stock down a little bit. It's lower by 1% in early trading. The electric car maker's third quarter revenue was lower than analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. On the other hand, earnings beat projections as Elon Musk's company overcame an auto industry chip shortage as well as supply issues. IBM, though, down 5%. The technology company's third quarter sales also trailed estimates. IBM was hurt by weakness in its computer services business, which the company plans to spin off.
Okay, what other tech earnings are you looking at this morning?
Lam Research, down 3.5%. The chip equipment maker's revenue for the fiscal first quarter was just below the average estimate. Lam's second quarter sales forecast was just in line with projections. Danaher is off 1.5%. The lab equipment maker's lower, even though third quarter earnings and revenue beat estimates. Now, AT&T, on the other hand, is up 1%. The phone company's third quarter earnings, just released a few minutes ago, beat estimates, reflecting faster growth in wireless subscribers than analysts expected. AT&T said this year's profit will be at the high end of an earlier forecast. Lots of transportation earnings between late yesterday and today. CSX is a carryover from yesterday. That stock up 3%. The railroad's third quarter profit and revenue beat estimates. And CEO Jim Foote said supply chain issues are likely to last into next year, and CSX is trying to help ease the backup. We're also due to get results from one of CSX's peers, Union Pacific, before the opening bell. And three airlines are due to come out with results. We've already heard from two of them. Alaska Air posting third quarter earnings that beat estimates. Haven't seen any trading in the stock yet. Southwest Airlines out just a few moments ago with a narrower loss and higher revenue for the third quarter than analysts expected. Stock, though, is actually down about 0.5% early on. And we're also due to get figures from American Airlines before the opening bell. As for other earnings, Discover Financial, the credit card issue, down 2.5%. Earnings and revenue for the third quarter came up short of estimates. Las Vegas Sands also down 2.5%. The casino owner had a wider third quarter loss from continuing operations than analysts expected. On the other hand, Dow up 1%. The chemical maker's third quarter earnings and revenue were higher than projections. And Qualtrics International, it's a business software maker, up 6.5%. Company had an unexpected profit for its third quarter as sales beat estimates.
All right, really starting to get into the heart of third quarter earnings season here with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, thank you as always. Looking at stocks as a whole, ahead of this Thursday morning open, S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 96, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 19 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's almost 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now, with Dow futures down 108 points. S&P's drop 11. NASDAQ futures decline by 22. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.64%. Gold is up 5. Oil is trading lower. And Bitcoin is little changed. Japan fell 1.9% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims as well as the Philly Fed. Also at 10 o'clock, we have existing home sales. And after the bell last night, IBM missed, is down 5% in the pre-market. Tesla was mixed. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Dow Inc. beat on operating EPS and AT&T EPS beat estimates. In other news, Cowen said that Macy's e-com business could be worth $29 to $43 per share. And WeWork is set to start trading on the NYSE. Wrapping things up, Krispy Kreme was cut to hold over at HSBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The FDA is signing off on extending booster shots to anyone who got the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. At the same time, the agency says anyone eligible for an extra dose can mix and match any of the three authorized vaccine brands. The race between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin for governor of Virginia has narrowed to a tie just 2 weeks ahead of Election Day. A Monmouth University survey shows both candidates with 46% support. In the NBA, it took double overtime for the Knicks to down the Celtics 138-134. The Wizards also won. Major League Baseball in the ALCS, the Red Sox were pounded by the Astros 9-1. Houston now leads that series 3-1. In the NLCS, the Braves Braves have a commanding 3-1 lead over the Dodgers. Atlanta down Los Angeles 9-2. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Dealmaking. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. All of a sudden, it appears that the Democrats' two-bill strategy to pass as much of their agenda as possible is working as planned. Lots of caveats apply, but they do seem closer to a deal. What was always hard about this approach was that the party's agenda is ambitious, and the gap between the most and least liberal Democrats is large, while the party's majorities are narrow. Working for passage? Everyone negotiating the second bill is a Democrat. Given the way elections work these days, all those Democrats have a stake in making Joe Biden look good. And the two bills address policy areas, such as health care, climate, child care, that Democrats have frequently compromised on. Again, things could easily still collapse. But I've been saying for a while that the eventual outcome to these negotiations is a complete unknown, and I don't think that's the case anymore. Now, the most likely outcome is that both bills pass and are signed into law. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Climate change is creating ideal conditions for infectious disease transmission, and the world's healthcare systems are not ready for it. That's the finding from a new Lancet study that says the potential for viral outbreaks is increasing rapidly in developed countries. The danger of malaria is rising in cooler areas, while Northern Europe and the U.S. coasts are becoming more prone to bacteria that causes gastroenteritis and sepsis. Apple will force unvaccinated workers to get daily COVID tests. The iPhone maker is tightening its virus protocols while stopping short of a vaccine mandate. The new daily testing requirement will apply to both unvaccinated employees and those who decline to report their vaccination status. And U.S. regulators are asking questions about how big tech uses consumer data. Bloomberg News has learned the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will demand information from Apple, Facebook, Google, and Amazon about how they use and market consumer financial data. The Bureau could publicly announce the demands as soon as today. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. I want to pass along one other STEM-related story that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal a few minutes ago. Pfizer and BioNTech say a booster shot of their COVID vaccine restores full protection against COVID in a large study. It's a result that could boost the case for giving a third dose more widely. Companies say a booster was 95.6% effective against symptomatic COVID in a study that followed 10,000 people ages 16 and older. And Pfizer shares are up nearly 1% now in the pre-market. All right, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include former President Trump looking to regain his social media presence through a new company. The House set to vote on contempt prosecution for Steve Bannon, and Democrats taking an edge on cash in midterm fundraising. Also making news, taxes, climate, and college splitting the Democrats as a deadline nears for President Biden's economic agenda. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us live from the nation's capital. So, taxes, climate, and college, those are the latest sticking points for Democrats, Emily?
They are some of many. I mean, one thing that Democrats have made very clear is that things are still in negotiation. They're still in the air. But right now, there are a lot of questions about the tax portion of the bill, how this will be paid for. Yesterday, there were reports that Senator Kyrsten Sinema is not supportive of raising a corporate tax rate, which Democrats were relying on to pay for a bulk of the bill. So they're looking now for other potential alternatives that might have the senator's support, as well as simply other ways to make sure that the cost of the bill is fully covered. That's really been something that the White House and Democrats have been pushing to make sure happens. other aspects of the bill that we know at this point, we know that there's that it's likely, not in stone, but likely, that community college, tuition-free community college, will not be in the final proposal. There's also seen, all lawmakers also seem to say that the clean energy power plants are also probably not going to be in the final bill, but they are trying to find other alternatives that would help lower carbon emission rates 50% within the next decade.
Oh, so it sounds like a lot more is getting whittled away before that self-imposed end-of-the-month deadline for Democrats to try to come to an agreement on this agenda. But want to get to some of the other stories now, including this move from former President Donald Trump forming his own media company now?
Yes. So Donald Trump announced last night that he would be beginning his own social media company called Truth Social. There's going to be a version of it that's launched in November and then a more public version that will be launched early next year. And this is coming as Trump has hinted that he might want to run again in 2024. I mean, remember, Trump obviously is a president that really utilized social media while he was in the White House. But now that he's not been able to be on Twitter or Facebook, he's really lost a big platform for him to communicate with his followers. And this is his attempt to find a way to communicate directly with his supporters and be able to get his message out quickly and efficiently.
Well, the message that's coming now from Capitol Hill could be a contempt prosecution against former chief White House advisor Steve Bannon following the January 6th attack. There's going to be a floor vote on that tonight.
Yes, there will be a vote tonight on holding Bannon in contempt. There's also a big question about what the role of the Justice Department is going to be in this. Justice Department Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's come out and said that he wants the department to not be a political arm. He wants it to, not be seen as sort of an extension for what President Biden's agenda is. But there is a lot of debate about what their role is going to be if Bannon is held in contempt by the House, which he's expected to be. What is the Justice Department's role in going to go in after Bannon and going to investigate him? Sort of what will be the next steps be? And this won't be something that happens right away. The Justice Department would likely need a couple months. But we're going to be actually be hearing from Attorney General Merrick Garland today. He's going to be on Capitol Hill for a hearing. And we're expecting him to be asked about Steve Bannon, as well as several other items related to the Attorney General's office.
So one definitely to watch, of course. We only got about 30 seconds left here, Emily. But all this is feeding into the midterms, and now we have new fundraising figures.
Yes, Republicans did outraise Democrats a little bit in the last month, but Democrats at this point have still have very strong fundraising. They still have both a lot of cash on hand, and you're seeing both of them also play a big role in the upcoming Virginia gubernatorial elections, both the Democrat National, Republican National parties putting money into Virginia ahead of that November 2nd race between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin. That's very, very close at this point, and certainly a lot of people will be watching that race. Virginia is considered a swing state, and how things turn out could be a bellwether for what 2022 and 2024 look like.
And some of the latest polling there shows a dead heat in that Virginia governor's race. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you. As always, read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM, HD2. Futures moving lower. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. And this is Bloomberg.